As promised, we're going to go now to the Middle East as we look at a Middle East news update with David Dolan, longtime journalist who has covered this region of the world, a very important region of the world, for over 35 years. And David, our theme for this special edition of Prophecy Today Weekend, a look into 2014, basically a review of 13 and then a preview of 2014. And I know that our conversations have been centered around the nation of Iran, its threat of developing a nuclear weapon of mass destruction. I've heard the leaders of Israel say Iran is their number one threat. As we look into 2014, is that still the case today?
Well, Jimmy, first of all, let me say Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you and your listeners. It's been good being with you this year. Yes, Iran will continue to be Israel's number one threat, number one enemy for the next year, as long as there's any sort of a nuclear program going on, and as long as its leaders continue to talk the way that they still are talking, despite this nuclear accord that was signed in late November. The latest example, Iran's foreign minister, Mohammad Zarif, gave a speech just a few days ago in Tehran, and he said that Iran could resume enriching uranium up to 20% in just 24 hours if they ever make that decision to do it. In other words, they still have all the equipment in place. It would be quick to get it going again, and that is exactly what Prime Minister Netanyahu warned would be the case unless the uranium enrichment centrifuges were removed from the country, not left in place as this accord allows them to be, since it allows Iran to keep enriching up to 5%. So that is an indication. And then we had the head of the Atomic Energy Agency in Iran actually just on Friday, Jimmy, say that they're preparing a new generation of centrifuges. They're building those currently, and that those will be deployed at some point. So they're showing strong defiance. Now, the United States and others are saying maybe this is just talk, hardline talk, because the head of the Iranian Revolutionary Guards basically threatened a coup against the Rouhani government there if it continues negotiations with the United States. Revolutionary Guards are a very hardline Islamic militia that in some ways runs the country. So we could have something like that happen. If that happened, then I predict Israel would take advantage of any internal bust-up in Iran to strike at it. That could come, Jimmy, any time in 2014, despite this nuclear accord, which the Israelis see is already coming apart.
David, is it reality that Iran is going to back down from their development of a nuclear weapon of mass destruction, which is what Prime Minister Netanyahu, the Israeli leadership, is calling for? But is that reality? Would they dare reverse what they've been working on? Are they going to charge ahead?
They've been working for so many years now. They've suffered a lot of economic reversals. Now some of that pressure is being lifted on them because of this interim accord, which appears to be already being defied by Iran. Yes, it looks like they're going to pursue their program at all costs. Ayatollah Khamenei reiterated this as well after the accord was signed. So they just see this as legitimizing their program by the fact that it is being allowed to continue, if at a lower level. And again, Zarif, the foreign minister, said as much in his speech. So Israel's not at all satisfied. And again, it's, as Netanyahu often points out, it's the country's very existence that is at stake. Now, obviously, nuclear bombs in America could destroy America, but it would take dozens of them to effectively do it, whereas in Israel it would take just one or two, being such a tiny country. And so they're not going to wait probably till the end of this next year to act, if this continues.
So you think that's a reality as well? The Israelis have threatened to do a preemptive strike on the weapons program, a nuclear weapon of mass destruction there in Iran. You think that's going to be a go if indeed there is not a reversal by the Iranians?
I think if the Iranian regime does not agree to destroy the centrifuges, then Israel will do it. It's certainly that simple. It's not simple, of course. There could be a major war, and the Israelis know that, and Hezbollah is being armed. Recent reports that Iran is now using Iraq. They're sending weapons into Baghdad and then flying them into Beirut for Hezbollah. They were doing it through Damascus, but that became too dangerous with the war there. So apparently the Iraqi government, that we, of course, have helped install and support, the Shiite side of it at least, is looking the other way at the very least as Iran does this. So a lot of indications they're continuing to prepare for war. The Iranians and the Israelis have to do so as well.
Speaking of Damascus, which you did, that brings to mind Syria. They're almost at 3 years of a civil war. Over 100,000, I think 130,000 is the last number I got, have been killed because of this particular civil war. Is that a threat to Israel? I mean, I know it's a civil war among the Syrian people, but is the civil war and all that's happening there in Syria at Israel's northern border, is that a threat to the body politic of the Jewish state?
Well, Jimmy, this has turned into one of the most brutal wars of the last few decades. We've had a few in Africa that have been pretty nasty, pretty high casualties too, but this is just almost unprecedented for the Middle East or for Europe or Asia. It's been many decades that we've seen. Some reports say, Jimmy, up to 200,000 is the real death toll. Nobody really knows for sure, but the latest official UN estimates are at least 130, as you said. So 2 to 3 million people displaced. Only 1 million of Syria's 5 million students even in school. 40 schools have been destroyed across the country. The economic system is in a shambles. A major war is raging. And again, it's not only that it's raging right on Israel's northern border, which it is, but it is raging in a country that is still in a state of formal war against Israel. There was an armistice after the 67 battles, but never a formal end of the state of war. A very brutal police state regime. And, you know, it's just intensely horrible. So the Israelis are watching, just as many others are, on a humanitarian level and may get involved even on that side of it. But of course, there's other bigger powers that should be doing that. They're encouraged that at least there is some evidence that the chemical weapons are being destroyed, or the process is continuing to destroy them, with the international powers involved in that. Otherwise, they don't see any sign of the end of this, and that it could spill over into Israel is very, very likely, very possible. Let's just hope it doesn't. But, as Prime Minister Netanyahu put it a few months ago, they have their finger on the trigger. They're watching very closely, and if they have to respond, they are capable of doing it. And, of course, that would especially be the case if Hezbollah gets involved against Israel. That's a more likely scenario, that Syria would once again back its ally Hezbollah along with Iran in attacking Israel. So we'll be watching for that as well.
Let's go to the south and look at Egypt. They're somewhat unstable with no really permanent government or leadership in place. Muslim Brotherhood taken out of the presidency and then called a terrorist organization. I don't believe the Muslim Brotherhood's going to go away. What about Egypt?
And no, the Muslim Brotherhood won't go away, certainly. It's been, even when it was banned for many decades, it still was active underground, and now it's banned again, as you just stated, and I'm sure will still be active. That's actually, Jimmy, the only regional news, apart from a little bit of a thawing in relations with Turkey during the year. It was just announced that Israeli commercial flights will be resumed to Turkey soon. It once was a very popular tourist destination, but with all the problems with the Erdogan government, that went backwards. But Egypt, the Israelis were actually quite happy that the military took back over. They believe they will keep the peace treaty, although they were disappointed by the U.S. cutting off some aid to Egypt as a result. And now, of course, as we've discussed, the Egyptians are turning more towards Russia, but so is Israel and China as well. The Chinese foreign minister just in Israel. So everybody's kind of looking around for other allies, as Washington seems to be either making bad mistakes or doing nothing with some of these issues. But the Israelis were happy with that development. Of course, they don't want to see a civil war in Egypt as well as in Syria. That would be terrible. There has been an upsurge in terror attacks from the Sinai, but the new military-backed government is taking stronger action against Hamas and other groups there. So, again, that was one bright ray of light in the region for Israel during the year, and we'll see if that continues into 2014.
My dear friends, there's lots more that we could talk with David Dolan about in this Middle East News update as we preview 2014. The review of 2013 looks to say it's not going to be very good for next year. We'll have to stand by and watch, and David will be on the sidelines observing those things and giving us insight as we continue our conversations. David, have a blessed new year, my good friend, and thank you. We'll talk again real soon.
To you too, Jimmy. God bless.